Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Today we are continuing our series and wrapping up our series called Trust the Process. This has been in conjunction with our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I will try to go as fast as I possibly can this morning, because I know if anybody is like me today, you're ready to dive into whatever you have been fasting. And today, after we leave, then that will officially end our 21 days of prayer and fasting. So I'll try to make it quick, but I believe God has laid a message on my heart today, so I don't want to go too fast, so that we can listen and hear what God is speaking to us. So I'll keep that in mind. We are talking about how we have to trust God, trust His process. This is a very well-known sports analogy that coaches often spend many, many weeks telling their players. If you're not seeing results, just trust the process. We know the results are going to come. And the same thing is true in our spiritual walk with God, that while we may not see the results that we want, we trust God's process, and we're going to see the results. We're going to see good outcomes. We have to have patience. We have to fight discouragement, but we're going to see results. And last week I spoke about how God is going to what good work He started in us, He is ultimately going to finish. And that is a promise that we can stand on. And so, as you can see this morning, and we've talked about it, that we have over 50 requests that people have filled out for things that they're believing God for. That there are probably more than 50, because there are several cards that have multiple needs on them. And each one of these cards has represented a need in somebody's life, somebody's family, or you have filled out one of these cards on behalf of somebody because they mean a great deal to you, that you're believing God to move in their life or to move in your life. But well, let me ask you this question. What exactly are you believing God for? As you filled out these cards, what exactly were you believing God and are believing God for? What is the desired outcome? What are you hoping God to do in each one of these situations? Now, I know there are some of them that are relationships, that you want God to mend a relationship, to restore a relationship, that there are financial needs up here, that you need a blessing, you need God's favor in your life, you need a job, you need whatever it may be, you need a healing in your life or somebody else's life. These cards matter. They're important to each and every one of us. We have filled them out for a reason, because we believe and we're believing God to meet these needs. We've been praying and fasting for 21 days. That we have prayed over these cards, and we're not going to stop praying just because we finish today and go, well, that's it, 21 days is over. No, it doesn't work that way. We're still going to pray, and we're going to believe over these cards. And I encourage you that if God has met a need, if the things that you've been praying for, God has met the need, then please take on the card and write answered, just wherever, somewhere on there, so we can keep track and give God praise for meeting the needs of each and every one of these. But what if the things that we're praying for don't happen the way that we hope? What if these prayer requests are not answered the way that we anticipate them? What if they don't happen in our desired outcome? What if they didn't happen in the time frame that we're looking for? God, I gave you 21 days. It's day 22. Where are you? What do we do? What do we do? Someone once said this. The waiting of God, the waiting may be hard, but it never leads to disappointment. The waiting may be hard, but it never leads to disappointment. Now, there is truth to that statement. There is truth to that statement. But it ultimately depends on what we are waiting for. As I said last week, God will start a good work in us, and He is going to finish that good work in us. But it doesn't mean between the start and the finish, there's going to be challenges in between. You see, I'm believing God for breakthrough. I'm believing for God to do the miraculous. I have faith that God is going to move in ways that human hands cannot move. But I also know this, that some of these prayer requests may not be answered the way that we hope for. They may not happen in the time frame that we're asking God to move. Let me share an example. A few weeks ago on Facebook, as we started our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I put out there on Facebook to all my however many Facebook friends I have, all five of them, whatever it may be. But I put out there, I said, hey, we're starting this 21 days prayer and fasting at our church. And there are people that, you know, have, you know, that I'm friends with from Kansas and our church there in Cape Coral and various places. And I just put it out there. We're believing God for the next 21 days. Is there a card I can fill out on your behalf? Can we pray for you? And there was a lady at our last church. She served on our children's ministry team. Her and her husband actually fled from Lebanon. And he was a minister there, and so they moved to Florida. They actually moved to Ohio and then moved to Florida. Fascinating people, amazing story. And she asked me, she said, can you please pray for my friend? We just found out that he has cancer on his tongue and in his throat. And we're believing for a miracle. On top of that, he was a former worship pastor. So cancer of the tongue and of the throat is obviously severe. So I said, absolutely, we will pray, and I am believing that God is going to move, and God is going to provide a miracle. I filled out a card, and it's up here. I got word this week that he passed away. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we don't have enough faith? Does that mean that we doubted God? Does that mean that somewhere along the way, somebody doubted God, that we didn't have enough faith, that we didn't pray enough over the, that I didn't fast enough? Absolutely not. I would love to stand up here today and pick up that card and say, God miraculously healed him, touched his body, and the doctors have no idea how it happened. But I can't say that. I can't say that because he was not fully healed. But it doesn't mean God didn't finish the good work that he started in him. You see, God will complete every good work that he starts in us, but it may not happen the way that we anticipate. It may not happen in the desired outcome that we are praying for or believing for. Pastor, how in the world can you get up here and preach an encouraging message starting with that story? I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do that because I know that my hope is anchored in something greater than what my hope is in these cards to be answered. That my soul is anchored in something greater. My hope is not anchored in the thing that I'm hoping for and that God will answer it the way that I want him to. No, my hope is anchored in who God is, who his character, who his nature is. You see, our hope is anchored in the thing, not in the thing that we're waiting for. Our hope is anchored in something so much more. I cannot and I will not ever say that God will meet every single need the way that we want them. I will never promise anybody, if you pray and you fast, God is going to do that thing. I will never make that promise because I'm not God. But what I do know is that God will start and he will finish every good work. But I don't know how that's ultimately going to end. I'm believing and I'm praying for a certain way, but my hope is not how God is going to answer it. My hope is in who he is. And this morning, I want to take a look at some anchors for our souls that we have in our times of waiting. God has already answered some of these prayer requests up here. And I'm believing for more, but they may not happen the way that we hope for. But just because they don't, doesn't mean that we can't have something to hold on to. So I have a couple verses that I want to share this morning. The first one is Romans 8:28. If you want to look in your Bibles, it'll be up on the screen in just a moment. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. This is an anchor for our soul. This verse is an anchor for our soul. This verse is a hope for us. It's a hope for God to work things together for our good. That God is going to work them out for our good. I don't know how. I believe this is how I want you to do it, but ultimately I don't know. But I know you're going to work things together for my good. Now, the thing that this verse does not say is it does not say that God causes all things. And I want to take just a moment and unpack this, because this is where a lot of people get tripped up, is we think that, and sometimes in our minds, and maybe when I say I mean in general, the population of humanity, they believe that God causes everything. This does not say God causes everything. That there are things that people attribute to God that are not of God. That every bad thing that happens, it's God's fault. That God, that tragedy happened, it's your fault. Why didn't you do something? Why didn't you stop it? And I've heard this from people who don't believe in God. Well, if God is such a good and loving God, then why do all these bad things happen? There is no place in Scripture that we see God causes sin or evil, but he does permit it. He permits things, but it's much differently than causing them. When you allow something and make it happen, that's something completely different. You see, this anchor that we hold on to means that when tragedies come our way, God will bring good from them. Can God stop it? Yes, he can. I am not smart enough or wise enough to tell you why bad things happen or why God allows things to happen. My anchor, my trust is in God that even though something bad happens, I trust him that he will work it together for my good. We live in a sinful world. The causes of tragedy are this, plain and simple. The causes of tragedy are Satan, number one. Satan is alive and moving in this world. We cannot just bury our head and not believe that there is an enemy out there to kill, steal, and destroy. He is very real, and he is out there causing as much chaos as possible. Turn on your news for 5 minutes, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Number two, the sinful choices of people. The consequences of our sin, that makes bad things happen. Tragedies happen because of our sin. The things that we do, Satan, sin, and sinners, those three things cause hardships and tragedy. But we are promised that God will work things together for our good. In spite of the tragedies, despite all the things that we see, the negative things going on, that I know that I can hope that God will work this together. I have seen this play out in my own life. That where I saw tragedy, God has turned around and worked it out for good. And I said, there is no way, there is nothing good that can come from this, but sure as I'm standing here, God turned it around for good. Because that's his promise to us. He didn't promise life is going to be easy. He didn't promise there will be no tragedy. There will never be any harm. But he promised that I will work all things together for your good. That in spite of the terrible things that you go through, something good is going to happen. I wish I could bring that card up here today and say God healed him, that God moved in his life. But I believe that a good thing is going to come from that situation. I don't know how. I don't have the answers. But my anchor is not in the hope of what I'm praying for, but my anchor, my hope is in who God is. That he promised that something good is going to come from it. While your prayer request may not be answered the way that you hope, I hope that your anchor is in God and not how he's going to answer that request. Number two, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxieties or all your cares on him because he cares for you. That's the second anchor. That we can trust God and anchor in the fact that he cares about you and me. That he cares about each and every one of us individually. That there is no one greater, there is no one, just because I have the title Reverend in front of my name does not mean I am better than anyone else. There is no one in the kingdom of heaven better than anyone else. Jesus modeled that. The disciples were arguing, no, I'm greater. And Jesus dispelled that in an instant. There is no one greater. God cares for all of us equally. God cares about me. Everybody say that. God cares about me. God cares about me. God cares about me. Say it again. God cares about me. Oh, that was good. One more time. God cares about me. Do you really believe it? You see, it's difficult for people to truly understand that God cares about them. When they've gone through tragedies, when they've gone through difficult times, how can God care about me? In the New Testament church, when the converts from the Greek culture. You see, they understood their relationship to their gods was far off and distant. That the gods were off in Mount Olympus or wherever they may be, and they could not care less about humanity. They were up in wherever realm they are doing their thing, not caring about humanity. So now, here comes the church. Here comes the message of the gospel saying, there is a God who loves you. There is only one true God. And in fact, he loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for all of your sins. That was a hard thing for them to grasp. Wait a second. I've been taught my whole life that the gods don't care about us. And now you're telling me there's a God who loves me and cares about me and sent his son to die for me? Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a bridge too far. I don't know if I can make that jump. It was hard for them to grasp that fact. And there are many people today that have a hard time grabbing a hold of that, that God cares about me. There's a God who wants to hear from me. There's a God that wants to speak to me. There's a God that actually loves me. It may be hard to understand that fact because maybe you've gone through a difficult time in your life. Maybe you've had a difficult relationship with your parents. Because many times we view our relationship with God in the lens of how our parents raised us or whoever our caregivers were. If you had a father who was very demanding, who was very harsh, that's typically how you view God. So what that means is if you had a father, earthly father, who was hard on you and never gave you a good compliment, never said, oh, it breaks my heart when my kids say, I've never heard my father say, I love me. How in the world can... But that's what you think that God is. That my dad on earth never said, I love me. He loved me, so God must think the same way. That is so false. Or maybe you had a passive parent that wasn't involved in your life, and that's how you view God. And so it's hard sometimes for us to realize that God really does care about me. He does love me. God cares and loves about us so much, look what the verse says, that we can cast our cares or our anxieties. Anybody have any anxiety before? My goodness. Drive on I-4, that'll give you plenty of anxiety. But what does he say? That you can cast all your cares, all your anxieties on me because I care for you. You can cast them on me. You see, sometimes we go past verses. But look what this verse says. Look at that word cast. Think about what that means. When I say cast, what do you think of? You think of somebody doing something. Casting is an energetic word, right? I mean, you don't just cast. You cast something. I'm going to cast it. No, if I'm going to cast something, I'm going to throw it. And this verse does not say, just lay your request on me. Don't just give me your request. No, it says cast your cares, cast your anxieties, cast them on me. Get rid of them. That's what this verse is saying. I care about you so much, you can cast them on me. Don't hold on to them. The idea is to throw it away, to get rid of it. It doesn't belong to you anymore. The thing with a cast net, if you've ever been fishing or you've ever watched somebody throw a cast net, it typically takes all of you to do it, right? If you do it correctly, and I've never been able to do it correctly, I've tried, and I look like a fool trying to do it, but I've tried, you know, you put some of it in your mouth, and you take it in your hands, and you throw it, or, you know, whatever. I use every body part I possibly can. But I've watched, you know, people that do it, and they do it well, and they take it, and they just throw it, and it's a perfect circle, and it hits the water, and down it goes. And they're using all of their body. They're using both hands to cast it. You see, that's spiritually what I'm talking about, is that we have to use all of who we are. We have to use both hands. If we're going to cast something, we've got to use both hands. That's where prayer and faith meet. That, see, prayer is what we tell God. Prayer is what we tell God what we're believing for. And faith is believing God can do it. Prayer is saying, God, I'm communicating with you. This is what I'm believing for. And faith is saying, I'm believing that you can do it. I'm casting this on you. Whatever you're believing for, whatever you're asking God for, whatever it is, cast it on him. Don't keep it back. Don't just hand it over to him. Get rid of it. But many times I'm going to keep it. It doesn't say, casually give me your cares to me. Cast them on him. That's how much he cares about us. He cares about every single one of these. That's why it was important for me to have us as a church write these prayer requests down on these cards and do something with them, to get out of our seats and put them down here as a tangible, physical way to get rid of them, to say, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm praying and I'm having faith in you. I'm casting them on you. That is an anchor that we can hold on to, that God wants to hear from us, and he wants us to give all of our cares and anxieties to him. Number three, Psalm 46:10 reminds us to be still and know that I am God. See, knowing God is to rest in him in the middle of turmoil. But how can we rest? How can we find rest in the middle of the dark of night? How can we find rest when there seems to be so much going on? Because we know what God does comes from who he is. Let me say that again. What God does comes from who he is. If God is good, then his ways are good. And then his answers are good, even when they're hard. If God is good, then his ways are good. Then his answers are good, even when they're hard. Even when they don't happen the way that we think they should. If that's what we're believing in his character, we're trusting in who he is, but we don't always view it that way. We may say amen, we say, yeah, we believe it, but we usually view God through the lens of our situation. We usually view God and his character and his nature through what we're going on inside of us, rather than who God is and his character. Let me say it this way. If we're going through a hard time, then God must be harsh. If I'm going through a difficult time, then God, that's just must be who you are. We're viewing it through that lens, through our problem. Hard time equals God is harsh. If you're going through a trial, then God must be angry. If you're going through a difficult time, if you're going through, feel like you're going through a trial, then God must be angry at me. What did I do wrong? Where's the sin in my life? Show me, God, what is it that you're angry? If we aren't getting what we want, then God just must not be kind, or he must be unjust. God, you answered their prayer request. Why didn't you answer mine? So you must not be a fair God. You must not be just, or you must not love me, or you must not care about me. That's how we view God, through the lens of what our situation is. But I want to encourage us to flip that today. We need to see our circumstances through God's character. How do we do that? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Psalm 56:9 says, God is for us. Then that means he's working for us in this trial. That's his character. That's his nature. He's not mad. He's not angry. He's working in me. God is for me, so therefore he is working on me, in me, through me in this trial. If he is our refuge, if he is our strength, if he is our salvation, as Psalm 18:2 and Isaiah 12:2 says, then we're safe. That is who his character is. If we believe that's what his word says, then I am safe. I don't have to worry or be fearful because I know I am safe. If he is for us, as Psalm 56:9 says, again, that he is working before us. If he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love, Exodus 34:6, then we can rest in the fact that he will be merciful, gracious, and loving to us. If he is great and awesome, as Nehemiah 1:5 says, then he is able to work mightily in the midst of my waiting. We have to be still and know that he is God. We have to understand that God is going to answer our needs based on what he sees is best for us. That he is working something good in through us and for us. We have to be still and know that he is God. As we prepare to end our 21 days of prayer and fasting, we're going to take communion. And I'd ask the ushers if you would come and begin to pass out the elements. The reason why we're going to take communion today communion is a very important time, and we have an open communion here at FLC. If you're a believer in Jesus and you love him with all of your heart, you're welcome to take communion. If you don't want to, you can just let it pass by. There is no obligation that you have to receive communion, but if you would like to and you're a follower of Christ, then we encourage you to participate in communion this morning. I don't know what you have been believing God for the past 21 days. I know what these prayer cards say because I've prayed over every single one of them multiple times. And I know that they mean a great deal to you because you took the time to fill them out and place them up here, and you're believing God to move, and you're believing God to answer prayers, and I am too. I have faith, and I believe that God can move. I believe that God can answer every single one of these prayers. But don't be upset if they don't happen in the time frame that you anticipate. Don't be discouraged if they don't happen when you think they should happen, or God didn't answer it the way that you thought they should happen. Isaiah's words to the Israelites when they were waiting to return to their land. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." If your hope today is based on the outcome, you may be disappointed. You may be disappointed for a number of reasons. God, I believed and I had faith that you were going to answer it. You were going to do it. Why didn't it happen? Did I do something wrong? Do you not love me? Do you not care about me? Do not let those thoughts enter your mind. What we need to focus on is who God is and who his character says he is. What his word speaks to you and I every single day when we read it. My hope is not in how God is going to answer these needs. My hope is in who God is. I wish I did a better job explaining this today. I really do. I'm not hitting my mark this morning. And I've been so burdened this week with this message because I truly want you to leave encouraged today. And I want you to know how much God cares about you and loves you, but sometimes life doesn't happen and our prayers don't happen the way that we anticipate them. But that does not mean God doesn't care, God doesn't love you. That's what I'm trying to say. I said all of that, wrap it up right there. Just because it may not happen the way that you anticipate does not mean God doesn't care and doesn't love you. There have been many prayers that I have prayed that I've looked back and went, "Thank you, God, you didn't answer it the way I wanted you to." While we're believing and hoping and praying for breakthrough, God may be saying to us, "It's not time," or "That's not the answer, but I have something better for you." My hope is not getting what I want. My hope is in who God is. If we hope in the one who is good, completely for us, whose word is sure, whose word is true, whose ways are perfect, then we will never be disappointed, because he is our hope. But sometimes we get discouraged or we get disillusioned because things don't happen the way that we thought. Sometimes we have to wait. We have to be patient and anchored in the hope of the one whose promises are sure and whose character never fails, that we have to trust his process, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make sense. If you would stand with me this morning, I want to receive our communion today. The reason why I know my hope is anchored in something greater than just an answered prayer is because while I was yet a sinner, Jesus came and died for me. And I didn't realize how much God loved me until I heard the story and began a relationship with Christ. God hasn't answered every prayer of mine. This is the sixth year now that I've gone through a 21-day prayer and fast. And God has moved and done amazing things. But there have been some times that I've prayed and I haven't seen the results. But that hasn't wavered my faith in Him at all. Because I know that God loves and cares about me because He sent His Son to die for me. This is the only thing that truly matters. That we have a relationship with Him. When Jesus was with His disciples, He was teaching them and trying to show them how much He loved and cared for them. But they didn't fully see it, but we get to see it. That His body, represented by this little piece of bread, was broken for us. See, communion is a special and it's an important time for us to reflect. I've just heard this word so many times today. Listen. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking. And maybe that's just for me. Maybe I'm just missing it. But as we hold this piece of bread in our hand, can we listen once again for what the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of us? That this bread simply represents Jesus' body that was broken for you and for every single one of us, for all of humanity. Can we just reflect on that for just a moment? Jesus, we thank You for Your body, that You sacrificed Yourself, that You gave of Your life, that You went through pain and suffering for me. Thank You for the amazing sacrifice that You took on the cross, that I may have life because You sacrificed Yourself. Thank You. Jesus' name, You may eat the bread. When Jesus was with His disciples, they passed the bread and they broke it. He said, "This represents My body." And then He passed the cup and He said, "This represents My blood." You know, I'll be honest, we don't talk a whole lot about the blood of Jesus in church anymore. It's not because I don't believe it. The church doesn't believe it. It's just an odd topic to talk about. But just because it sounds odd or weird doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about it. Because if it was not for the blood of Jesus, then we would not have life. We would not have eternity. That the blood of Jesus made me white as snow. The blood of Jesus was poured out for every single one of my sins. And I'm so thankful for that blood. If you would hold the blood, the cup that represents the blood in your hands, and search your heart. Ask for forgiveness. If there is anything in your heart that you need to ask for forgiveness, just simply say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me white as snow. Thank You for Your blood that covers all my sins, that my sins are cast as far as the east is to the west. They are gone. Thank You for the sacrifice. Thank You for Your blood. May we live every day knowing and walking in that truth that no matter what the enemy says, that we've been bought by the blood of Jesus and we walk in victory. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.